And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. This morning, just for a short while, we're going to talk about Satan as a deceiver. This morning, before we go any further, let us go to God in prayer. O Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning because we have been blessed. We have been blessed that we have made it through yesterday and came into today. We thank you, Father. We thank you that you have blessed us to see this new day that we've never seen before. We thank you, Father, that you have given us a reasonable portion of our health and our strength. We thank you, Father, that you have given us clothes not only for our bodies, but you have clothed our minds in your word, O Lord. We thank you this morning, O Heavenly Father, that you have given us a place to come to, which is your house, O Lord. Being that this is your day, we have to come to you. We need to make sure we're in your house, O Lord, and we thank you for providing that. You provided it when you sent your Son down into this world to save us. He hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross. And when they poked him in his side, O Lord, out came the blood and the water, Father, giving us the church. And we thank you for the church of Christ each and every day. Father, we thank you for all of those that are in the audience this morning. And we'd like to especially thank our leadership here for continuing to lead us. And also thank you for their families, that they may continue to give them strength to be with them through their ordeals. We thank you, Father, for the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. And we pray and ask you to continue to bless them and their families also. We pray and ask you to be with those who are sick, those who are weak, those who are hungry, those who are tired and wretched, Father. We just know that you're able to bring all things unto all people, if it be your will. We're just asking you for that strength and that what they need, O Heavenly Father. Give us all what we need, Lord. Father, we pray and thank you for those who have survived the earthquake, the tsunami, and those who have braved the tornadoes downstate. And we're just praying and asking you to give strength to those as well, O Lord. We pray for our politicians, O Lord, that they may do the right thing and not make any laws that would prevent us from serving you in spirit and in truth, O Lord. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the mothers and the fathers today, and thank you that they are raising their children, that they might raise their children upright, O Lord. Thank you this morning, Father, for all who are in the audience this morning. And thank you, Father, for blessing us to be here again. Now, my Heavenly Father, as we proceed on into the next portion of our services, we ask that they be, if they be favorable and acceptable in thy sight, that you would bless us this morning, O Lord. Watch over now and keep us, O Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, who because he died, we have an opportunity to live. Thank you, Lord, in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as I said, we're going to be talking from the first book of Timothy, the second chapter in verse number 14. Satan is a deceiver. When we hear the word deception, our minds go to that which is evil and bad. And yet many forget the matter or the cause of the deception. Today we shall talk of the master of deception, one who caused the greatest transgression of all times, for it caused mankind to doubt God and brought sin upon us. It was back in Genesis chapter 3, around verses number 6 and 7, which caused mankind to transgress against God and his instructions. Deception is the cause of one to sin, and sin results in separation from God. Deception is simply stated as a lie dressed up to look like the truth, but is far from the truth. And for in the end, a lie never wins out over truth. This morning, let us go into our message now. First thing we need to do is find out who is Satan. To many, he is a familiar figure that artists and cartoonists and others have led us to believe. They have led us to believe that he wears a red suit, carries a pitchfork, and has a tail. But that's not true. He's like any one of us in here right today. He may be wearing the latest three-piece suit. He may be dressed in the finest shoes. He probably arrived in one of the finest of automobiles. Yet his only mission is that of deceiving those who are not already his. We find in our text in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 14, the same word used two times out of 14 words. Those two words and those two times are the same word, deceive. It was not the man, Adam, who was deceived, nor the one who committed the transgression. Instead, it was the woman. That's what the text says. Let us read the text. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Sorry, ladies. But nevertheless, it was the woman who made the transgression, who brought on the transgression. And we find that the transgression was brought on by one, and that was Satan. Satan is always seeking soldiers to bring under his command. The book of Job spoke of Satan in chapter 1 and verse number 6, where the Bible speaks of him running and mixing with the children of God, with the men of God, or with the sons of God, which puts him out of place. Even today, he tries to fit in wherever he can. He'll fit in where he can. And this morning, he's fitting in, believe it or not. He's still around us. He's still here. He opened, when the doors open, he walked right in. He has many allies. He has also has many aliases. He is called by the devil, the evil one, the dragon, and many other names. He will lead us down a road, and this road will cause us to find out it's nothing but pure deception. Jesus said, the devil is our enemy, is the enemy. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 39. He even tried to tempt and deceive Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. Read it at home. Chapter 4 verses 1 through about verse number 10. But Jesus knew how to overcome him. And we must learn as disciples of Jesus, we must learn as followers of Jesus that we must learn to overcome him. We must learn to discipline. We must learn to be disciplined to resist him, and he will flee from us. Now, when I look at that text, I look at what it says there, and it says, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Now, that tells me something there. There had to be a transgression in order for Satan to try to line this woman up, or put us in what some of us call a trick bag, if you will. He caused Eve to doubt the word of God. He caused her to look in another direction. He caused her to not believe what the Lord had told her already. Isn't that what's happening today? People are not believing what the Bible says. People are not believing what God says to us, or what he has already written and told us about. Now, when you take a case of a person not believing in the scriptures, that's where transgression begins at. It begins with the devil, and the devil causes us to not believe in the scriptures. And I know what some say. Some say, well, I believe the scriptures, but I only believe it to a point. And that's the problem, that point where you make it the point. That's where you have the problems at. So we know who Satan is. He is a deceiver. We know what he does for against us, and he know what he causes us to do. So the second point this morning, he deceives us about sin. He loves to paint sin as good, as the best thing for us. But as many believing Christians know, it won't last. It is the lure of the hunt, the excitement, the build up to the look what I can have kind of thoughts among us. That the fact that it appeased many. But let me tell you, it won't last. It will not last. Remember in Hebrews chapter 11, around about verse number 25, where the statement that was made by Moses was written, it says Moses' thoughts were Moses choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin don't last. It may go on for a while, but it won't last. You may think it's the best thing since sliced bread, but I'm telling you something. Sin won't last. Satan understands the marketing techniques used to convince one to come to sin. He knows how to package sin. He knows how to distribute sin. And then if one is not careful, he will soon win us over. He puts in our minds in movies and in TV ads, through movies and through TV ads, through newspapers and the likes. He shows us things like a brawny man smoking a cigarette. And this is to entice us into buying cigarettes. He shows us in ads for women, teaches them how if you dress a certain way, men will fall at your feet. But I got some news for you. It won't last. It won't last. He also puts in our minds, whatever he puts in our mind that looks good to the eyes and makes the mind want it. That's what happened in Genesis chapter 3 around verse 6. The woman, when she saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and did eat. But this part here, and also gave unto her husband, which he did eat as well. Now, the transgression was on the woman, but Adam could have stopped her, but he didn't. He could have stopped her. He could have told her, just like church folk today try to tell people in the world, that that's not the right way to go. That's not the right thing to do. You've got to stop doing things like that. Satan deceived Eve, and she caused Adam to be a part of her transgression by his refusal to stop her. Instead, he became a part of her. But I read the word somewhere of a preacher in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse number 2, where he said, it all is simply vanity. All is vanity. Isn't that what the Bible says, church? All is vanity. Sin will bring disappointments. In Proverbs, read Proverbs 23, 29 through 32 when you get home, and you'll find out. Let's go over there. Proverbs 23 and verse number 20. Proverbs 23, verses 29 through 32. Look what the Bible says. It says, who hath woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has babbling? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, which giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and sting like an adder. That's what sin does for us. It looks good to us while we have it in sight, but then eventually that goodness fades away and we realize it for what it really is, just simply sin. So be not deceived by Satan. Do not fall for his deception. He deceives us about salvation. He deceives us with untruths about salvation. He would like for us to believe that salvation comes because we are so good. This is simply not true. In order for us to have salvation, we needed to have a Savior. Who was that Savior who delivered us? It was Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, there's a salvation in no other name, for there's salvation in none other. No one else, for there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. Nobody else can deliver us but Jesus Christ. In John 14 and verse number 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Men must not be deceived by Satan into thinking that this life is full of fun and that it's anything more than what it really is. Sin is not fun. Sin is sin, and sin will bring you heartaches in the end. Sin is separation from God. When one gets ready to let Satan go, God is ready to accept each and every one of us. How do we know that? Well, how do we know that Jesus can make us better? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, the Bible says, If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You want to become new? Turn away from Satan and his sin. Turn away from Satan and come to God. Jesus is our light on this dark and dreary world. Satan may be the master of deception, but God is the Savior of whom man can trust in. We can't trust deceiving Satan. For when we do, we find ourselves hearing the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21, through verse number 23, which ends with Jesus saying, "Depart from me, you that are workers of iniquity. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." So you got to understand something this morning. When we pick up sin, we're not picking up something good. We should look at it as the fact that we're picking up something too hot to handle. Sin is not good for us. And I know that none of us are perfect. I know that none of us are without sin, because didn't He suggest to whoever is without sin to cast the first stone before? So none of us are perfect. But you know something? It's good when we can say that we try to live righteously. It's good when we can say we try to do our best. And life is not easy in this life. There are going to be some heartaches. There's going to be some pain. There's going to be some shedding of tears. There's going to be some things that we just can't seem to handle all by ourselves. That's why we need the Lord. See, Satan will put you there where you can't handle a situation, but he's not going to bail you out of it. He wants you to continue to fall straight down. God wants to lift us up. That's why many will find out through their being deceived that Satan never meant anything good toward our salvation. They soon shall find out that turning would have been much better than burning. They soon will find out the truth about Satan, and that is he represents nothing but deception for us. He's a liar, and he's a cheater, and he's a destroyer of men's soul, and he will cause an eternity of grief. When you think about it, when you think about the Church of Christ, it was brought here through the death of Jesus Christ. It was built, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And you know something? The church is still standing. The church will stand throughout the eternal ages, throughout all ages of time while we yet live, and it's up to us to get into the church. So when I go back and I look at the text once again, it says, "And Adam was not deceived, the woman being deceived was in the transgression." You're going to transgress, but you've got a way out if you come to Jesus. You've got a way out if you stick with Jesus. You've got a way out if you let the devil lead him away from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Many people during this season of the year find themselves caught up in the deception of Satan. They overspend, they overeat, and some even cause hardship on their families. Satan has already deceived many people, especially some of our politicians and some of our lawmakers. He deceived them into passing bills and laws redefining the definition of marriage. Oh yeah, I'm going to go there. He's caused us to redefine. They think that God's Word needs a redefining of what marriage really is. A redefining of civil and social rights. I'll tell you something. I could see, if look at me, if you will, for a moment, over in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 24. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 24, the Bible says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now I think if he wanted that to be redefined, he would have put on the end there something to the effect, "And we can change this later." But he didn't say we can change this later. He said it's between a man and a woman. And I take note of that because I want you to understand something. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you are. And I don't care how you live your life, but don't force your life upon me. I want you to understand that I have a choice to make, and my choice is to go with what the Bible says. Now, I'm not a perfect man. I have my faults. I have my feelings that sometimes don't go the same as your faults and your feelings, but all of us have faults and feelings. Now, I tell you, if you want to be right with God, you've got to follow His Word. And His Word did not tell us you can follow my Word only for a little while and then you can go off on your own. He said, we must obey the Bible. The Bible is put here for us to follow. The Bible will lead us from birth to eternity. And it will get us to heaven. And if you allow the devil to deceive you, you will wind up thinking there is no heaven. There is only a hell. But I tell you, when I think about the politicians who have throughout the years and throughout the ages have thought of marriage as one way and they want to reinterpret now what God has already defined, Satan has deceived many into thinking that we must have what belongs to our neighbors sometime. So some have resorted to thievery or stealing from them, from their neighbors. Satan is a deceiver, and until we can resist him, we are all at risk of his deception. Now, no matter what you may think about the matter of performing marriages between the same sex, I choose the other way. And you can't make me choose to go your way. I've already been instructed on the way of righteousness. I've already been instructed. It says that a man shall leave his parents and cleave to his wife. Now, how many wives can we have out of wife? It's singular in there, isn't it? It doesn't say wives, it says wife. So that means to me that a wife was only meant as one thing, and that was a woman. And if that wife was a woman, now I know that we make laws and we have to obey the laws of the land, but I don't have to do something that's against my religious principles and against my religious practices. So I tell you this morning, I know that there are some who have to perform what they call civil ceremonies and civil weddings and all such as that. But I tell you something, my job as a preacher doesn't require that I do something against the Word of God. My job as a preacher doesn't dictate to me that I have to marry two men if they stand before me, or two women if they stand before me. Now, this has nothing to do with their civil right. They can have their civil right and their social right, but I'm talking about religious rights. I'm talking about what pleases God. I'm talking about not what pleases the devil. Satan is a deceiver. And I want you to understand that. And I got a few minutes, so I'm just going to bring it down to you and just bring it out here. If Satan wasn't a deceiver, why did he try to tempt Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 again? If Satan wasn't a deceiver, why was he running with the sons of God in Job and asked God to allow him to attack Job, to have Job? And what did God tell him? He said, do what you will, but don't kill him. Don't touch him. But then, I think about Satan from time to time. I have to think about him, because if I'm not careful, he'll pull me down to his level and he'll do the same to you. And when I think about Satan and all of his tricks, he told us, well, he didn't tell us directly, but he makes us believe that his way is the right way. He makes us to believe that there is no wrong way. He makes us to believe that His way is the exact right and the only right way. But I tell you something about that too. If you don't get in church and come to church, you may not ever find out the difference. There are some who say, well, I can do just as well by staying at home. But you can't. You're not edifying the other Christians by staying at home. I don't know if you're studying God's Word or if you're not. You're not edifying me if you're not here. When I look out from up there, I like to see a full house. And you ought to like to see a full house from your vantage point as well. You ought to like to see the saints rolling in. If I presented to you next Sunday, we're going to have a concert with one of the popular musicians. And I'll tell you, it'll be a surprise. How many would show up expecting to be surprised? It would be overwhelming, I bet. If I told you that I'm going to have some sports celebrity who's going to speak to us and encourage us, and you'd come in and you'd be waiting to get in. You see all those folk that were waiting for Black Friday? They stayed out all night, some of them, waiting to get in a store to spend money that they don't have, maybe. To buy stuff that they don't need. To give it to somebody who doesn't really want it. But yet, they stayed out, didn't they? They stayed out because they felt it was more important to get in and get something early for Christmas, as they put it, rather than wait. But I'm going to tell you something. We should treat God the same way. We should treat God in the same manner, and like you say, better even. It's unheard of to line up to get in church, preacher. Because I don't see any need that I should wait until the doors open. The doors ought to be open when I get there. Well, you don't get here at 11:15. Service has already started when you got here at 11:15 and you think you know what's going on. How do you know what the preacher is talking about? You're hunching your neighbor next to you. What is he talking about? But yet, I can't be late going to the concert. I can't be late getting to the sale. I can't be late for this dinner appointment that I have. And I'm going to dress up in my finest attire. And I'm going to wear my sharpest shoes. And I'm going to put on my best coat. And I'm going to clean my car. And I'm going to have it sparkling and shining. Because when I roll up and the valet takes my car, I want him to say how clean my car is. You're more concerned about what a man thinks about you than the Word of God. That's because Satan has deceived you. He's a deceiver and he doesn't stop. He doesn't stop deceiving. He keeps on deceiving until he finally gets you in a hole that you can't break loose. And then he walks away from you because he's got you now. He comes for me next. Or he comes for you next. But he's always been a deceiver. He's always been a liar. He told Eve in that garden, he told her that not, that's the word that he used. He said not. God said this tree shall, you shall not touch this tree. But he said shall not. It's okay, in other words, for you to eat off this tree. It's okay for you to take this fruit on this tree and go ahead and eat it. It's okay. If you disobey God, if you not trust His Word anymore, if you deceive yourself into thinking that, if I deceive you into thinking that God's Word was not right, I'm alright and you're alright with me then. And then the problems start. Then the problems start. Just as soon as you think, well, He promised me this and He promised me that. All I have to do is give in to Him. And then you give in. And then, when you give in, you realize to yourself, sometimes you do, some of us do, we realize to ourselves, that wasn't right. What can I do? What must I do? We talked about it in the Bible class this morning when the jailer asked Paul and Silas, what shall he do? What did he say? What must I do to be saved? Well, that's what we have to ask ourselves. We have to ask ourselves, what must I do to continue being saved? If you've already been saved, if you're already a child of God, you want to know how to continue in your path of righteousness, in your walk with Jesus Christ. You know, it would be something if Jesus could revoke His privilege of dying on yonder's cross for us. If He came back and said, I changed my mind, I'm not dying for any of you no more. Where would we be? And Satan is a deceiver. He'll make you think that Jesus really didn't die. So I ask you this morning, are you going to allow deception to take over your life? And I'm through. My time is just about up. I'm through. Are you going to allow Him to deceive you and or your family members? You know, it's one thing for you to be deceived, but then are you going to allow Him to deceive your family members by not changing your ways? You know, we also talked about this in Bible class this morning, how that our family members know when we're our weaknesses and our strengths. And I could see myself in talking to some of my family members and them, some of them might bring up, well, I remember when you used to do this or you used to do that. Yeah, but see, the greatest testimony you can give is that I don't do that anymore. I don't allow Satan to deceive me anymore. I do my best to keep him off of me. I resist him, and I know the Bible said if you resist him, guess what? He'll flee from you. Yes, I used to be like that. Yes, I used to do that. Yes, I was once in that life, but I'm not anymore. And I thank God for that. And if you tell me that you've never been there, you won't ever go there, you're a very good candidate for Satan. Because he loves to hear you make a testimony that I've never been there, because now he's going to work on you. So what do I do if I want to make sure that I'm not caught up in the deception that Satan deceives people through, that his deceptive practices, that they don't catch me? Well, you come to God by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And even though some of us have already been baptized, some of us have walked astray again. Some of us are still astray. And I don't mean anybody in the auditorium this morning, because you're here. But I'm talking about those who have gone astray and not come back to the fold. Those are the ones that you need to go to God and ask for forgiveness. Stand before the church. Ask the church to pray for you that you may gather strength and be strong enough to resist Him. Are you being deceived this morning as we together stand and sing the song of invitation?